ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
You know, since July last year, psychiatrists have wielded the power to prescribe MDMA and psilocybin magic mushrooms, if you like, marking a really groundbreaking shift in mental health care. Well, Australia's trailblazing move to legalise psychedelics for medical use in 2023 sparked, as you can imagine, debate among experts, raising questions about evidence-based decisions versus external influences. Well, with the recent opening of Australia's inaugural psychedelic therapy clinic, the spotlight is now on this very innovative treatment method. Joining us on Overnights is Professor Suresh Sundram, the head of psychiatry and co-investigator at Monash Uni's Clinical Psychedelic Lab. G'day and thank you very much for your time, Professor.
Thank you, Tim.
All right, Professor, let's start at the beginning. When did this research begin?
So the research began actually many, many decades ago, back in the early part of the 20th century, and it was being trialled in a range of clinical and non-clinical settings throughout the 20s, 30s, 40s and 50s into the 60s. In the 60s, as you and others would know, it entered into the counterculture movement, in particular in the United States. And that then precipitated President Nixon to undertake a war on drugs, which then put a curtain on all further research for the next 30 years.
Yeah.
And then at the beginning of this century, late 1990s, this beginning of this century, it underwent a very gradual resurgence in interest. And then in the last decade or so, there's been quite a considerable amount of research interest with a number of clinical trials being conducted, mainly in North America and in Europe, although now Australia is beginning to start on that process. And then, of course, as you mentioned earlier, the downscheduling of these agents by the Therapeutic Goods Administration last year. So it's been a long journey, but it's really accelerated the last decade and a half.
Yes, I was going to ask you, and obviously before that, but I do remember LSD being used, I imagine, experimentally on Vietnam veterans, yes?
That's right. So there was a lot of interest and a lot of research that was being conducted through the 40s, 50s and 60s in particular in the use of these agents in a range of psychiatric conditions with encouraging, promising results. But that evidence, you know, is 60, 70 years old, so it's less applicable in a current context.
Yeah. So let's broadly talk about what are the mental health issues that can be treated with the psychedelics.
So we are exploring, and when I say we, I mean globally, we are exploring a whole range of psychiatric disorders which we think may be amenable to treatment with psychedelic agents. The two that are leading at the moment in terms of clinical trials that have demonstrated efficacy is MDMA for post-traumatic stress disorder and psilocybin for treatment-resistant depression. However, these agents and other agents are also being tried for other types of depression, for eating disorders, for substance use disorders, and other anxiety disorders such as obsessive compulsive disorder, generalized anxiety disorder. So a range of psychiatric illnesses which are, you know, they do have treatments, but there are a lot of people who are not responding to current conventional treatments.
Right. What about the conditions that I guess are broadly called mood disorders? Effective there too?
Yes, that's right. However, we need to be careful about the use of the term mood disorders with reference to psychedelics.
Right.
So where we do have good evidence and safety data is around the use of medicines for depression, so for depressive disorders, but the other component of mood disorders, which is bipolar disorder or manic depression is the old term for it, there, although there may be efficacy for depression, there's significant safety concerns about the use of these agents in people who are prone to mania or manic episodes.
Is there a quantum leap between the effects of psychedelics and, in the context of psychiatric therapy, your, if you like, traditional methods?
The data to date does seem to indicate quite significant or large effect sizes. So whereas treatments for PTSD or for treatment-resistant depression, conventional treatments might have a moderate effect size in terms of their comparison to treatment as usual or no treatment at all, psychedelic agents appear to have a larger effect size, and that's very encouraging. We're seeing data from the MDMA for PTSD studies in the United States showing that 75% of people are responding or remitting from their disorder, and that's certainly much higher than conventional treatment data at the moment.
Yeah. So how do, and I suppose this is a general question, a psychiatric therapist determine the appropriate dosage for the therapy session?
So I think the really important point for people to understand is that the medicine itself, so psilocybin or MDMA, is not the active component of treatment. If you think about it, if it was, then everybody that uses these agents recreationally wouldn't have psychiatric disorder. But of course, they don't cure or treat psychiatric disorders by themselves. In fact, the component of the treatment which is the bit that gets people better is the psychotherapy that's associated with the administration of the medicine. Mm. So the medicine is really there to facilitate the psychotherapy, which then takes weeks or months after the actual dosing that the patient receives.
Mm.
Having said that, the dosing schedules that we provide are been relatively standardized in the literature to date, and so they're the ones that are being used by most practitioners in Australia who are now doing this.
Okay, it might be a layman question, but does this therapy reset, if you like, or revitalize the receptors in the brain long term or short term?
So we don't really know. We do have data that suggests that for some people the effects can be quite persistent. So there's reasonable quality data, although small, that says that for up to 2 years people remain well. And if that's the case, you know, that makes these treatments very attractive and very promising. But we don't have sufficient long-term data to fully answer that question.
Yes, and just going back to the beginning, I think it's important to say, I mean, some people may be thinking, oh my goodness, they're using MDMA and magic mushrooms, the sky's going to fall in. But you've got these decades and decades of research already done, interrupted by old tricky Dick Nixon.
That's exactly right. So the implication of this is that in the right setting and in the right hands, these drugs can be used as medicines, as therapeutic agents. But of course, in a recreational setting, then anything can happen. And we would vouch or advocate for people to be using these agents outside therapeutic settings, but certainly within therapeutic settings in the right hands, these medicines are comparatively safe.
Yes, I'm speaking with Professor Suresh Sundram from Monash University about all of this, their psychedelic lab. What about this kind of therapy stimulating the creation of new neural pathways or correcting them? And again, forgive it if it's a layman question.
That's right. We're trying to work out how it is that these agents have their effect. We don't have the answers yet. There's a lot of research which does suggest that these agents can somehow stimulate new connections between brain cells, and that those new connections are important or instrumental in mediating the effect of the psychotherapy. There's also good evidence to suggest that these agents might calm or reduce the activity of parts of the brain which are involved in the generation of emotions, in particular fear response and anxiety responses. And so by calming or reducing the activity of those centres, people are able to access traumatic memories, traumatic experiences, other very difficult and painful emotions, which can then be processed or worked through in the therapy.
Okay, now risks, risks with everything, but potential risks and side effects associated with psychiatric therapy using the psychedelics?
Yes, there are clearly, obviously, with any treatment, there are adverse effects and also safety issues. One of the things that is most critical is that people who have had psychotic symptoms, that is, symptoms that are associated sometimes with schizophrenia or with bipolar disorder or other mood disorders, that is, people who might be hallucinating or having very fixed delusions. For those people, at this point in time, treatment with these agents is contraindicated, and the reason for that is that we potentially could exacerbate or cause a relapse of those symptoms. Similarly, to be safe, we don't at the moment treat people who have family members who have a first-degree family members who have a history of a psychotic illness such as that.
Okay.
The other possibilities are that sometimes with MDMA, they can cause problems with blood pressure and with heart rate, and so therefore we are very conservative in selecting people who don't have any pre-existing cardiac disease. That's not an absolute contraindication, but we are very careful about ensuring that their cardiac health is good. Most of the other side effects tend to be relatively mild and self-limiting, so things such as nausea, headache, those sorts of effects, and they tend to dissipate once the acute effect of the medicine is put off.
I guess an obvious question, but how do therapists address the potential for substance abuse or dependence following the therapy?
The data seems to indicate that that's a theoretical possibility that has not eventuated from the clinical trial data. Although it is possible that people might abuse these substances after having been exposed to them, the general indication is that these are not addictive substances, certainly not addictive in the way that, for example, methamphetamine or heroin or cocaine are. And that people are not seeking these drugs outside the therapeutic context after they've been exposed.
Yeah. Now, is it a finite program? Can it be ongoing, or is that a suck it and see kind of thing, I guess?
That's right. We don't know how often or how frequently or how repeated these treatments need to be. The current treatment protocols are for a number of months. So as I said, there's usually two dosing sessions with the medicines and preceded by a little bit of psychotherapy and then by a lot of psychotherapy after the dosing. And that persists for 6 to 9 months of psychotherapy.
Yep.
We don't know again whether or not we need to treat people repeatedly after that, because we don't know how long at this point in time the effects are lasting. But as I said, they certainly seem to be lasting in some people up to 2 years.
Yes, and obviously done in a very controlled atmosphere, yeah?
That's right. That's right. These are specially designed clinical settings that these medicines are being administered.
Okay, what about ongoing support in place for patients after completing one of these psychedelic assisted therapy sessions or a number of them?
That's right. So we provide about 6 months of acute psychotherapy and then 3 months of an extended follow-up treatment. And then at the end of that, the person would return back to their usual health practitioner for ongoing treatment and support. The hope is that people won't need to return to their previous medicines, that in fact these medicines will have allowed the person to enter into a phase of remission, and that then obviously they stay well for a period of time after that.
Yes, and again, it's probably obvious, but you would believe the potential positive long-term effects would outweigh the negative long-term effects of using MDMA or magic mushrooms.
Yes, we don't expect that there'll be any long-term adverse effects. We obviously, people might have some acute responses when they're first given the medicine, But we're hopeful that with the therapy following treatment, that the person doesn't have any adverse outcomes associated with the treatment itself.
All right. Now, some of my listeners may be listening to this and go, well, you know, nothing else has worked. Maybe I should give this a try. What should they do is the best option for them.
The treatment at this point in time has not been approved by the Therapeutic Goods Administration. All that they have done is that they have downscheduled MDMA and psilocybin. So these are still drugs outside the therapeutic context that are considered to be poisons and obviously illegal in Australia. The way that the TGA have allowed the administration of these medicines is through an authorised prescriber scheme.
Right.
What that means is that a psychiatrist can apply to the TGA to be recognised as an authorised prescriber, and following a rigorous process, they can be granted approval to use the medicine. At the moment, there's only a handful of psychiatrists who are authorised prescribers for these medicines. And so I would advise listeners to search around to find people who are authorised prescribers, and then once they've identified somebody, to then reach out to that clinic or to that individual to find out the process to access the treatment.
Okay, and Overnights is a genuinely national program. So this is Australia-wide, Professor, only a couple of states.
It is technically Australia-wide. My understanding is that there are people, authorised prescribers in Western Australia and in New South Wales, and certainly in Victoria, there are a handful of prescribers. But as I said, there's really very limited numbers. And at this point in time, I'm not sure whether there's any authorised prescriber in Queensland, South Australia, Northern Territory or Tasmania.
Mm. You know, it's a broad thing to say, but it's always occurred to me, I mean, some of the opiates that have been used for a number of years and sleeping pills and everything else. I mean, poor old Elvis Presley rattled, he took so many pills and they were approved and prescribed by a general practitioner. And now we're discussing all of these things as a way to help people. And surely that's the point, to help people, no matter what the therapy might be or the drug used.
That's exactly right. So all of those agents that you've mentioned, when used in the right context at the right dose for the right conditions, are extraordinarily helpful and efficacious. It's just that they sometimes have a propensity to be abused or misused, and that's when people run into problems. So the same applies for these agents. If they're used in the correct context, for the right conditions, with people who, practitioners who know what they're doing, then they can be very, very helpful.
And are you confident that long-term it will be generally accepted, this type of therapy?
We are quietly hopeful that that will be the case. We're aware that MDMA for PTSD has been submitted for evaluation by the Food and Drug Administration in the United States, or to them. If they then approve MDMA for PTSD in the United States, then I think it's likely that those sorts of approval processes will flow to other jurisdictions, including Australia.
Yes. Just back to the Vietnam situation, it just popped into my head then. Did that actually work? As we know, the awful lot of drugs were used by particularly American soldiers during the Vietnam War, a lot of marijuana and LSD too, I assume. Did that work to an extent before it was shut down?
The clinical data would suggest that certainly for a proportion of people, it did work. And certainly the MDMA for PTSD trials that have been conducted in the US, which have focused on military veterans, have shown very, very promising results. Yeah. So I think the short answer is yes, for some patients, it's very effective.
And was that predominantly for PTSD?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, right. Well, we've come a long way, Professor, haven't we? Let's hope we can go a good deal further.
Certainly.
Looks to be lovely to talk to you. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Tim.
Professor Suresh Sundram, the head of psychiatry co-investigator at Monash University and Clinical Psychedelic Lab. And listeners, please remember, as we say with Professor Gordon Lynch, it is very important to remember that any medical treatment discussed on Overnights is not medical advice. Medical treatment is not a one-size-fits-all issue.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.